Into this house we're born. Into this world we're thrown. Like a dog without a bone, an actor out on loan, riders on the storm. There's a killer on the road. His brain is squirming like a toad. Take a long holiday. Let your children play. If you give this man a ride, sweet Emily will die. Killer on the road. Yeah.
Bad vibes, ready to tell me every guy's side. DJ is spinning, I said in my mind. Flash is fast, flash is cool. Fun plus a bar, flash ain't on two. And you don't stop, sure shot.
Last week in Atlanta, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld was giving a speech when he was suddenly interrupted. There was Screaming Lady, and then, of course, Screaming Fella also joined in, and then Screaming Lady with War Crimes Banner. Typical, easily dismissed crackpots doing the same old... Wait, I'm sorry, sir, you had a question?
I'm Ray McGovern, a 27-year veteran of the Central Intelligence Agency.
Now, if you remember, we've already heard this once, and the dirty American whore network that played the clip on the news didn't bother to put that first part in there. Hi, I'm Ray McGovern, 27-year veteran of the CIA. They didn't bother to put that in there. I think they said something like, and some dude stood up, like he was some idiot off the street, some meandering homeless man who talks to himself on the street corner. That's how they made this guy out to be, because they're a network, and they're out to protect Bush and his phony war from the very beginning. They always were. They still are to this day, even now that it's become the biggest catastrophe that a president's gotten us into in, what, 50 years, 100 years? Even after that, they still go out of their way to protect him. They know he's guilty, but they're doing everything they can to make the administration look good and make anyone who questions him look like an idiot. The sons of bitches.
I'm Ray McGovern, a 27-year veteran of the Central Intelligence Agency. Why did you lie to get us into a war that was not necessary and that has caused these kinds of casualties?
Ruh-roh.
First of all, I haven't lied.
Oh, he didn't lie. All right, well, that settles it, everybody. There's pound cake in the back. We can all have a nice time. And
it appears that there were not weapons of mass destruction there.
You said you knew where they were.
I did not.
See? He never said he knew where they were.
We know where they are. They're in the area around Tikrit and Baghdad and east, west, south, and north somewhat.
Well, to be fair, Rumsfeld probably never saw that episode of Meet the Press. So the Secretary of Defense caught in a contradiction about weapons of mass destruction. Surely that will be a big story.
How much of an axe do you have to grind with Secretary Rumsfeld?
But he wasn't just any heckler.
Were you nervous?
Tucker, I resent the word heckler. I'd like you to take that back.
Okay, I'm not taking it back.
Yes. Donald Rumsfeld encouraged whoever, I think, had their hands on you at the time to let you stay there. Does he get any credit for that today?
Isn't it enough that he was wrong and had bad judgment? Why does he have to be a liar, too?
Well, you know, that's the question you'd have to direct to him.
But won't.
You said you knew where they were, near Tikrit, near Baghdad, and northeast, south, and west of there. Those are your words.
They're in the area around Tikrit and Baghdad and east, west, south, and north somewhat.
Yeah, this is Bart. I'm calling in on the old Bart phone. I'm in the Bartmobile. I'm driving down the street. I just drove by the Hummer dealership here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and this red Hummer pulls out in front of me. No big deal. So I'm driving down the street, and there's this bright red Hummer, and I don't know one Hummer from the next, but this looks like a Hummer that, you know, you'd buy to show your neighbors what a big penis you had. Anyway, so we're driving down the street. I'm behind this red Hummer, and then we come up to the intersection, and I see a guy. He's standing on the corner. He turns and salutes the red Hummer. And I'm thinking, dude, this is not a Hummer just back from Iraq. This is some billionaire that's getting 4 miles a gallon in his Hummer trying to impress his neighbors. And these donkeys in Oklahoma, they salute the Hummer. Oh, Jesus. You know the guy watches Fox News. It's just crazy. It's just crazy. This is Bart, and I'm out of here.
Jack Cafferty's not on the Mexican border. He's in New York. He's watching all of this unfold. Jack.
Wolf, today's lesson in hypocrisy comes to us courtesy of the Senate Judiciary Committee. They met in a different private room behind closed doors today and approved a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage. At one point, the thing got pretty ugly. A shouting match between the Republican chairman, Senator Arlen Specter, and Democratic Senator Russ Feingold, who said he was against the amendment, as well as Specter's decision to hold the vote in a private room out of the public's view. These guys are shameless. Feingold eventually stormed out, telling Specter, quote, "I've enjoyed your lecture, Mr. Chairman. See ya." Senator Specter, in a real show of courage, says that he's, quote, "totally opposed to the amendment," but he voted for it anyway, saying it deserves a debate in the Senate. Majority Leader Bill Frist says the full Senate will now debate a constitutional amendment which has absolutely no chance of passing. Frist hopes to have a vote by June 5th. This is all being done by the Republican majority in an effort to appeal to right-wing nuts in the Republican Party ahead of the upcoming midterm elections. Ignore all the pressing issues facing the country and instead go grovel at the feet of the lunatic fringe. Senator Frist should be very proud of himself. That's leadership. Here's the question. Is now the time for the Senate to consider a constitutional amendment on gay marriage?
Hi, I was reading on the Bar Cop site that Glenn Beck is the biggest douchebag ever been on radio. I wanted to nominate Michael Savage as an even bigger douchebag that's on the radio. I enjoy your site. Keep up the good work. All right, bye-bye.
Major combat operations in Iraq have ended. In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
The current situation in Iraq, the president described today as a havoc.
As a what?
He used the word havoc today. Could he, would he possibly stand under a sign that says mission accomplished today as he did 3 years ago?
Well, Peter, I think that, you know, there's some Democrats that refuse to recognize the important milestone achieved by the formation of a national unity government. And there is an effort simply to distract attention away from the real progress that is being made by misrepresenting and distorting the past. And that really does nothing to help advance our goal of achieving victory in Iraq.
Yes or no question. Could the president stand under a sign?
No, see, this is a way that...
Sure, I'm asking based on reporter's curiosity. Could he stand up for a sign again that says mission accomplished?
Now, Peter, Democrats have tried to raise this issue, and like I said, misrepresenting and distorting the past, which is what they're doing, does nothing to advance the goal of victory in Iraq.
Historical fact that, you know, we're all taking note of.
Well, I think the focus ought to be on achieving victory in Iraq and the progress that's being made, and that's where it is. And you know exactly that Democrats are trying to distort the past.
Let me ask it another way. Has the mission been accomplished?
Next question.
Has the mission been accomplished?
We're on the way to accomplishing the mission and achieving victory.
Major combat operations in Iraq have ended.
Mission accomplished. Bye-bye, Scott. You know what? And you know what's going to go with Scott? The entire White House press briefing cameras. All the cameras. I told you this. I said, didn't I tell you I was going to stick my neck out and make a prediction that as soon as the snow job started at the White House, that the cameras would be eschewed, the cameras would be removed from the White House press briefing room? Well, where's an egg timer when you need one? Today in the Washington Post, there's this article. It says Bush's new top aide makes his TV debut. And about four paragraphs into the liberal media's article, Bolton tipped his hand in only one arena, suggesting that the White House might stop allowing its daily news briefing to be televised in full hopes of discouraging posturing for the camera. No, you know what it's hoping? They're hoping that people like me who record what they say, the lies that he tells from that podium, and I can play them back again and again and again and again and again and again and again. Ongoing investigation, no, we don't think he's guilty. That's what they want to end. That's what they want. What does it say about this administration when it's considering banning video coverage of its press briefings in a country in which the vast majority of people get their news from the TV? What does that say? Tells me the vast majority of people disapprove of this administration, and that when they're able to see them on the TV in their press briefings, which they move, don't have a specific time, just kind of pop up on the TV there, shut the people off from the daily updates, because it's so much easier to get away with lying when people can't play them back again and again and again and again and again. And I'll tell you one press event that the Bush administration never wants televised again, and that was the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Oh, my God. Did you, you know, we're sitting here, we're scratching our head in other various body parts, and we're saying to ourselves, what do we do? Censure, impeachment, war crimes tribunal. It turns out all you need is a guy named Stephen and a sense of humor. That's all. Stephen Colbert, I'll tell you something. This guy, he should win a Nobel Prize for what he did at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. At the very least, everybody raise a cold beer to Colbert. And if you missed it, I recorded it, which is exactly why they won't do the press conferences with TV cameras anymore.
Bart Kopp, this is Gail in Englewood. I tried to respond to your email, and what can I say? Microsoft will stop sucking when they start building vacuum cleaners. The T-shirt order was correct. One medium female, too large male. Sounds like a Republican fantasy, doesn't it? Thank you much. Bye.
I want to tell you something. Leaks of classified information are a bad thing. If there's a leak out of my administration, I want to know who it is.
I have nothing but contempt and anger for those who betray the trust by exposing the name of our sources. They are, in my view, the most insidious of traitors.
Hey, Bart, this is Matt from Northwest Iowa saying, hey, everybody mentions dirty bombs, biological terror weapons. It's going to be even more simpler than that. Take 10 nut jobs with Centrec plastic explosive vests, most powerful stuff on Earth. Take 10 nut jobs in every super Walmart from Fargo to Houston on one of the busiest shopping days of the year. They all hit the button at about the same time. That would not only cripple America's largest employer, hit them where it hurts, kill a lot of their innocent employees, but I'll tell you what, scare the living shit out of anybody from going anywhere. especially the people who need to go to Walmart the most, lower income people. And it's definitely something that I bring up to my Republican friends that say, well, it's better to fight terror over in Iraq than it is here. And you know what? For 5 years, the Bush administration has been totally fucking around, completely fucking around for 5 years. You know, this thing about border security, what a joke. One brown person looks just like any others. The terrorists are already here. They could be posing as aliens from Mexico. Since Al-Qaeda has training bases over in the Philippines, heck, and they speak Spanish and Portuguese, pretty much a slam dunk. Once again, thinking out of the box, my friend, and pleasant dreams to everybody. You going to want your wife and kids going to shop at Walmart? I don't think so. Take care, Bart. Keep swinging the hammer ever higher and down harder. We love you, man.
Good evening. I'm Anderson Cooper. Immigration. Thank you. Immigration issues continue to make headlines, and since there weren't any hurricanes this week, we decided to cover it. Monday, President Bush admitted that the Mexican border is broken. His plan called for the deployment of 6,000 National Guard troops to bolster the existing Border Patrol. Joining us now is recently deployed National Guardsman Sergeant Derek Fleck. Sergeant, describe what a guardsman goes through when they get deployed.
Well, I can say that when I learned that I was shipping out, I had a lot of anxiety and fear. I had a very tearful goodbye with my family. And then I found out that I was going to the Mexican border instead of Baghdad. You know, I was so happy my head almost blew up.
But certainly the task of guarding our borders is a daunting one.
I guess? Look, Anderson, there are only two places on Earth right now if you're in the National Guard. Iraq and not Iraq. I couldn't be happier than if I got stationed at a Hooters.
So, does that mean that you think the task of guarding our nation's border will be an easy one?
You know what happens when you see a pile of trash on the side of the road in Iraq? You gotta send a robot out there to go poke at it for an hour. A robot. You know what happens when you see trash on the side of the road here? You leave it! Manuel! Dos cervezas.
President Bush's proposals have met with a great deal of criticism from governors in border states who have complained that they were not consulted about the plan. Joining us now is one of those dissenting voices, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger from California. Hello, Governor.
Hello, Anderson Cooper.
Now, Governor, you said that the president's plan is a Band-Aid solution and not the permanent solution we need. Are you saying the guardsmen aren't enough?
That's right, Anderson. Remember, I was an immigrant to this country and all this. I know the lengths immigrants will go to cross our borders and all that. 6,000 guardsmen will stop no one out there.
So, if you were an immigrant today, could you cross the border?
Yes, and let me tell you how I'd do it. I would cross the desert under the cover of night, using sand and a little bit of water to form a mud that would cover my face. I would wait for a lone guardsman to wander away from the group, perhaps to have a cigarette or some such thing. I would creep up behind them and whisper, "Your borders have been breached." Then I would break his neck. I would then steal his uniform and infiltrate his unit and things of that nature.
If I can just interrupt...
No, you cannot, Anderson Cooper. I would detonate something to cause a diversion and then steal a military transport or a red sports car or something of that nature. Soon I would be in downtown L.A. to begin my real quest to find the man that killed my family.
Feels though we're way off course, Governor. Do you have any actual ideas about how we could better protect the border than with 6,000 National Guardsmen?
Anderson, I have a plan to protect the border that's very simple. All we need is a few keep-out signs, a barbed wire fence, and, of course, an army of predator monsters.
That's simply not helpful. Earlier this week, New England was hit hard with heavy rains that caused the worst flooding since the 1930s. Joining us now is Peabody, Massachusetts resident Pat Danahay. Pat, how bad is the situation?
Apparently not bad enough to get you up here, Cooper. If we were in New Orleans, you would have been here before the first drop hit the ground. What happened? Did you lose your slicker?
I assure you we're sending New England all of our thoughts and prayers, Pat.
Oh, thoughts and prayers? I better check the mailbox. Oh, that's right. It washed away on Tuesday. You know, maybe instead of the well-wishing, you could do me the favor of removing your head from your smooth, hairless ass. Did you
Final thoughts, Sergeant Fleck?
Wasting away again in not Iraq.
Ay, ay, ay. According to the Daily Mirror, Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn bought a mansion in Chicago together. When asked why they chose Chicago, Aniston said, "It's Vince's hometown, and the people are really nice. And besides, where are we supposed to go? Nambia?" Nambia, or however you say it. Easy, Jen. Steady.
You might remember, if you were awake last year, it was reported that the President of the United States, George W. Bush, had authorized the National Security Agency, the NSA, to wiretap Americans' phones without a warrant. Caused a bit of a to-do, dust-up, a brouhaha. Until we realized, it's nothing.
This is not a program where we're listening to phone calls inside the United States.
And it's limited to calls from outside the United States to calls within the United States, but not domestically.
This is not about intercepting conversations between people in the United States.
It's very limited and targeted at international communications.
What it is not is some sort of roving domestic spying program.
This is focused, it's targeted, it's very carefully done. You shouldn't worry.
Now run along. Good boy. Conversations inside our borders. They were discussing the program, saying that these are international codes. Conversations within our borders are sacrosanct, untouchable, supercaliprivatastic. Well, now it turns out there is one specific type of domestic call the government was keeping tabs on. All of them. As you probably heard, USA Today reported Thursday, the agency is collecting data on billions of domestic calls. The government jumped out to respond to the NSA program last time. The response this time, slightly different.
You know, I'm not going to comment on the program just until the appropriate time. There's not been even a confirmation of the USA Today program itself.
I can't sit in here confirm or deny the claims that are in the USA Today story.
Let me say that I'm not commenting on in any way any of the allegations made in the news story today.
It's nice to see them guarding their privacy. The program that dare not speak its name is run out of NSA headquarters, and really, who wouldn't trust an agency whose building is literally a windowless black box? Has gathered records on so many calls, it is believed to be the largest database ever assembled. The NSA story sparked outrage when it broke, and President Bush immediately addressed an anxious nation.
Today, there are new claims about other ways we are tracking down Al-Qaeda to prevent attacks on America. I want to make some important points about what the government is doing and what the government is not doing.
We're not peeking in your daughter's window. Or hiding in your back seat. When you get in the car, jumping and going, "A-goo-goo-goo." Don't. You can shower. We're not watching you shower. I'm sorry, President Bush, you were saying you weren't doing something?
We're not mining or trolling through the personal lives of millions of innocent Americans.
Now, technically, what he's saying isn't a lie. So, in essence, President Bush did not have sex with that NSA program, Miss Lewinsky. See, instead of the NSA recording conversations, this time they just gathered information about the calls, the time, the length, and the phone numbers. In other words, while the government does know you repeatedly called the gay teen bondage chat line at 1:45 a.m. for 7 minutes at a time, what you discussed, that's your business. That's your business. I don't care. But of course, in his defense, the president did reserve most of his ire for the real enemy, the people who told you about the program.
As a general matter, every time sensitive intelligence is leaked, it hurts our ability to defeat this enemy.
Are you for the terrorists or do you want your phone tapped? Can't have it both ways. By the way, if you're wondering how the government got your phone records in the first place, well, ever since 9/11, the phone companies have apparently voluntarily handed the data over to the NSA without telling you. Banking on the public goodwill built up from years of showing the those Carrot Top ads. Fortunately, though, the president is not alone. He does have a powerful and loyal team of defenders.
It's not domestic surveillance without court approval.
We're just talking about collecting phone numbers.
And just the numbers, not data about what was said.
Look, if you're not making phone calls to places like Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, then you're not going to be brought into this.
If we get hit again, and you find out that they're not doing that, aren't you a little ticked off?
If it's going to keep me safe, I don't care.
Yes, it is not great to necessarily hear they're collecting our phone records, but it's a heck of a lot better than collecting our remains.
Wow. The entire network of anchors has been hired to be the press secretary.
Hi, Bart Kopp. Love your site. But you ought to check out my site. But first, let me tell you, I live in Idaho, probably the most racist state in the union. The local radio has been promoting shooting illegal aliens, beating illegal aliens. And because of that, I thought I'd start a website. The call letters of the radio station is KBAR. So I changed my my website to KKKBAR.org. It's really funny. There's some real funny stories in there. And I am amazed at the businesses that sponsor this hate show. And they actually say stupid stuff like a local kid was suspended from school because he refused to salute the Mexican flag. Of course, I checked with the teacher, and she said, no, the kid was suspended for flipping off the flag. But the hate must go on, so they fixed the story to fit the hate and the mood. But you got to check out the website. It is funny. KKKBAR.org. Good luck, Bart Kopp. Love you, man. Bye.
Yes, it's just an incredible administration, isn't it? And we only have 2.5 more years to suffer through it unless we go and vote in November and make sure that the majority party is not the Republican Party. This is what I'm requesting. This is what I'm saying to you repeatedly. Choose a side. Unfortunately for us, we only have two sides. Now, if logic is what it is, there are usually three sides to every story. And I'd like to see a third side, but we don't have that right now. And I know this pisses people off no end that I say you have to vote Democratic because there's no other third party to, there's just no third party to vote for. And if you'd like a third party, by all means have at it. You've got 5 months to go raise money, organize your party, in 50 states, in districts, in every 435 districts across this country. Pick the third party and get in there. I'll support you, but it can't happen. That's the problem. The problem is you got to vote for a Democratic Congress for oversight, for checks and balances. If there are no investigations ever held, and there have been none, even the 9/11 commission was bogus. It was a presidentially appointed commission that was loyal to the president and the vice president, even allowing the president and the vice president never to be sworn and to testify in secret together. Wouldn't you have loved to have heard the question asked out loud under oath to the President of the United States? Why, sir, did you ignore the presidential daily briefing of August 6, 2001 that said Osama bin Laden was determined to strike within the United States? And if you did not ignore it, what action did you take? His answer is, I stayed on vacation, where he said he could operate with email and faxes. And then he said,
you know, I don't email, however. And there's a reason. I don't want you reading my personal stuff.
And apparently that's exactly what's been going on. The National Security Agency, whose charge it is to spy overseas, away from the United States, has had this humongous spying apparatus set up and running and operating even before September 11th. And as we've discussed today with constitutional scholars, that's illegal. Warrantless wiretapping is illegal. Now we find out that they've been collecting every phone number ever received by you and every phone number ever dialed by you, and it's all being warehoused in the NSA's database. That's also illegal. The NSA is not to spy on Americans. They are not to collect data on Americans. And if they have an American or somebody here in the United States that is talking to Al-Qaeda, they certainly haven't produced that person in all these years that they've been doing this stuff. So what good is it? The answer is, it's not good. It doesn't help fight terrorism. It's not leading us to terrorists. It's not connecting Americans to Al-Qaeda members. No, nobody has been paraded before us as being a success story from any of these NSA wiretap operations. And in fact, had they had caught somebody, believe me, they would have paraded that person out and said, this person was a known Al-Qaeda affiliate. We're bringing them to justice today. And in their court trial, you will hear that we captured them by tapping their phone. And of course, if they did it warrantlessly, you couldn't bring them to justice. So what's the point? Well, the point is that they are interested in some other thing than fighting terrorism, and nobody knows what it is except for the people who are doing it. I don't know if they're doing it for commercial purposes or they could sell all of our information to various corporations that might have an interest in what drugs you tape or how many times you go to the doctor, or if you're overweight because you call Papa John's five times a week, and that excludes you now from the Great American Medical Plan.
Pizza Palace, guaranteed hot in 30 minutes or it's free. This is Mary. May I take your order?
Hi, Mary. Yes, I'd like to order.
Is this Mr. Kelly?
Yes.
Thank you for calling again, sir. I share your national identification number as 610-204-9998-45-54610. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. I see you live at 736 Montrose Court, but you're calling from your cell phone. Are you at home?
I'm just leaving work, but I'm...
Oh, we can deliver to Bob's Auto Supply. That's at 175 Lincoln Avenue, yes?
No, I'm on my way home. How do you know all this stuff?
We just got wired into the system, sir.
Oh, well, I'd like to order a couple of your double meat special pizzas.
Sure thing. There'll be a new $20 charge for those, sir.
What do you mean?
Sir, the system shows me that your medical records indicate that you have high blood pressure and extremely high cholesterol. Luckily, we have a new agreement with your national health care provider that allows us to sell you double meat pies as long as you agree to waive all future claims of liability.
What?
Do you agree, sir? You can sign the form when we deliver, but there is a charge for processing. The total is $67 even.
$67?
Well, that includes the delivery surcharge of $15 to cover the added risk to our driver of traveling through an orange zone.
I live in an orange zone?
Now you do. Looks like there was another robbery on Montrose yesterday. Hmm. You could save $48 if you ordered our special Sprout Submarine Combo and picked it up yourself. Comes with tofu sticks. Those are very tasty, sir. Good value, too.
But I want double meat.
Well, I'm sure you can afford the $67, then. You just bought those tickets to Hawaii. They weren't cheap, eh? Oh, but I see you checked out the budget beach bum at the library last week. Up to you, sir.
All right. I'll get the Sprout subs.
Good choice, sir. Gotta watch that waist if you're hitting the beach, eh? 42 inches. Wow. Man, I'd say tofu and sprouts is, like, required.
That's how much?
Just between you and me, there's a $3 off coupon in this month's Total Men's Fitness magazine. Your wife Betty subscribes to that, right? Anyhow, clip that and it's $19.99 even. Whoa, looks like you maxed out on all your credit cards. Bring cash, okay?
Want to stop this from happening?
You know, this may surprise you, but I've got an opinion. The best way to stop this abuse is walk in that voting booth and hit Democrat down the line and turn around and walk out. Try to get a couple of your friends to do the same thing. Don't go in there and cherry pick this and that. Oh, that's a good Republican. Oh, I kind of like that guy. No, go in there and hit Democrat up and down and be done with it. Do that in 2006. Do that in 2008. And I don't care what Molly Ivins tells you. I don't care what Arianna Huffington tells you. I don't care what my very good personal friend Mike Malloy tells you. I want you to hit Democrat up and down the line. If it's Hillary, thank God, because she's going to win unless she gets stabbed in the back by her own party. Do we want to win, or do we want to give another 4 years to those idiot, murdering, giggling monkeys? I say no. I say we stop them right fucking now. Well, there you had it. Show 93 is in the can. Hope you enjoyed parts of it. We're going to close out the big 2006 Cinco de Mayo show by doing a couple of the good shots. Start off with the current champion, regular old good old Chinako Anejo. Here we go. And it's just so nice. Oh, I thank the Lord that I was able to discover the Chinako. It would be awful to have discovered this in my later years, whereas now when I've got a lifetime to enjoy it. A couple things we need to mention. Thank you, God, for the heat. It's 96 in K-Drag today. It's been in the high 90s all week. It's going to be in the high 90s all next week. Bring it on, Lord. I don't think you got it in you. And why do I want some blistering, burning, murderous heat? Because the corn is coming in. And when it's 100 degrees, the corn rocks like Zeppelin on a good night. So go, Lord. Let's have it. Let's see. I want you to hurt me with the heat, Lord. Okay. Second shot, because we're running out of time. If I don't talk fast, we're not going to be able to fit all this on two CDs. Next shot up, have to revisit the Don Julio 1942. Oh, it is really nice. In K-Drag, you can get this dirt cheap, like $80 a bottle. I know what you think. Oh, Bart, he's drinking the $80 tequila. Yeah, I bought a bottle of $80 tequila in April of 05, and I still got it, and it's really damn nice. I only do a half a shot, a quarter shot now and then, because it is really damn good. Oh, it's just beautiful. It's like fine art. Fine art that you can put in your mouth and swirl it around and swallow it. It's real nice. We had our big tequila fest in Colorado. This came in second because it's really good. Also want to mention, last issue, you know, we had to do what we could to come up with a couple hours worth of something to put on a show to let the subscribers think there was a reason to continue to subscribe. But damn, that's a bitch when you lose your voice. A 30-day sore throat. It was like 34-something days total, but geez, that's tough, especially on a guy like me who likes to talk. But in that last show, I was putting this and that together, trying to come up with 2 hours worth of product, and I put in that Stairway to Gilligan. I didn't hear from anybody. I thought some people would have written and said, Bart, how dare you? That's a great song. How dare you mock it that way? Thought someone might have wrote in and said, Bart, I've heard that song 200,000 times, and it was kind of funny to hear a little twist on it, but isn't it amazing that the words to the Gilligan's Island would fit exactly into the what most people say is the best rock song of all time? It was kind of an odd thing. I threw it in there. Not a word. If I were to say Ted Nugent's a bad guitar player, John Wayne can't act. Oh, the floods come in. How dare I? But I put up a little Stairway to Gilligan. Nobody cares. Hey, that's okay. Last shot of the night. The big one, the big giant, the big kahuna, the limited edition Chinako Anejo 100% de agave, age 7 years, their 30th anniversary Chinako. This is the best thing I've ever tasted. It is just unbelievably good. And I have to thank my good friend Don Ho, the man who paid for our trip to Hawaii. Dude, between the trip to Hawaii and the bottle of Chinako, you totally rock. And speaking of, I mentioned a few days ago, I don't know what day this is, but a few days ago I mentioned on the page how I couldn't drum up any interest in a poker fest. Since then, several people have written. So, you know, just when you write it off, boom, it rears its non-ugly head. So my best guess is that sometime maybe in September, we could go earlier. Perhaps we can save $10 by going in July or August, but oh, swear to God, it really is 115 in Vegas in July and August. In September, it'll be down to a manageable 100 degrees. So we're shooting for a poker fest in Vegas around then. Probably stay at the Palms. You can get dirt cheap room at the Palms. By dirt cheap, I'm talking about $89 for a room that you're going to look at it and say, damn, I can't believe I can get a room this nice for $89. Besides, I called them and said, what if we was to play some poker there? And they said, dude, we're going to treat you like a king. You just tell us what you need. We're going to give you your own table, your own dealer. We'll give you your own room if you need it. You just let us know when. The only thing we can't do is do it Friday or Saturday night. So we can do it Saturday afternoon. Would probably make a lot of sense. So Poker Fest may be on. There'll be more on the pay. I'm not going to beat it into anyone's head. People get really pissed off if I mention a Poker Fest more than like once or twice. So we're just going to barely mention it. If you want to come, fine. If you don't want to come, fine. Hey, but the thing is, if you show up at Vegas to the Big Chinako Fest, slip of the tongue, the Big Tequila Fest, we can go over to the Pink Taco and we can buy a shot of this super great $300 bottle of Chinako. And a shot, I think, is like $35 or something dollars. But hey, we can split it 4 or 5 ways. If you don't have $9 to taste something that you'll talk about it the rest of your life, maybe. You just couldn't believe how nice that Chinako tasted. for $9, hey, you only go around once, right? I'm going to spend the $9. So, in closing, going to do a shot of this. Oh, God. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Fantastic. I need a better education to tell you how good that is. It is really damn nice. So this is Bart in K-Drag. It's 100 degrees. I'm going to get to work on show 94. Ooh, show number 100 is coming up. Maybe we ought to try that live. But then again, nobody, how many of the dozens of you listening, only a very small percentage would be able to catch the live broadcast, and everyone else would have to catch it on the rerun. And if we're going to listen to a rerun, might as well have it. Maybe I could do the original straight out, just do it, and then clean it up a little bit for the rebroadcast. That might make a little sense. So I'm going to get to work on show 94. Thank you to the subscribers. Thank you to the people who dropped the occasional check in the mail. Thank you to the people who bought T-shirts. Remember, we got some shot glasses coming. But I'm Bart and K-Drag, and I'm out of here.
You can bruise us, but you'll have to run.